This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're listening to The Rainbow Report. News and current affairs for the Rainbow community.
And this is Doug Pollard bringing it to you. With me in the studio, we just heard Gregory Storer, who's going to get married on Adam Hill's program. Now we're joined by Brent Allen. Now, Brent's worked with the VAC, ACON, NAPWA, a whole string of acronyms in his past there. In recent years, he's been a government bureaucrat. But this month, he takes the reins at PLWHA Victoria. Welcome to the program, Brent.
Thank you very much, Doug.
This situation we're in at the moment with AIDS, HIV, it seems that a lot of people have gotten kind of complacent about things, or at least that's a perception that we keep hearing about. It seems that campaigns, prevention campaigns and things have gone a little bit quiet, a little bit soft. But I'm interested to hear from your point of view whether you think that is indeed true, and what you see the role of PLWHA and yourself in that situation.
Look, I think that we're about to embark on a really important time in the response to HIV, not only in Australia, but worldwide. We're calling it more or less the prevention revolution, and it's a combination of prevention techniques that we've never, ever had available to us before in the past. Mm-hmm. It includes both biological prevention, such as the advent of antiretroviral therapies and pre-exposure and post-exposure prophylaxis, but also the reinforcement of condoms and behavioral techniques to prevent transmission as well.
Mm. And there's, I see this certain amount of chatter going on about microbicides again.
Yeah, microbicides are always up there. There's an amazing array of new microbicides on the marketplace that are about to hit in the marketplace, being tested in third-rate clinical trials. They're looking really good, both anal microbicides and vaginal microbicides.
So you think there's a whole new kind of era in the protection?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think there are two things in particular that are going to drive HIV infection notifications down in Australia and in Victoria. The first is going to be the advent of treatment as prevention. Mm-hmm. This is where we're trying to promote people who are infected with HIV taking up treatment as early as possible. This means reducing their viral load.
That's not been the advice in the past, has it?
No.
Earlier on, the advice was start as late as possible because of the side effects of the drugs.
The side effects now are so minimized. The new profile drugs are amazing. We don't have that same sort of side effect profile we've had for years and years. What we're looking at now are drugs that are easily tolerated. They're incredibly effective. And ostensibly, which is good for public health and plus for the individual, they're going to drive your viral load down really, really quickly.
Right. And the point about that is that people with a low or even an undetectable viral load are far less likely to transmit the virus.
Absolutely. And what we want to do is really, at the moment, we're looking at 70% of HIV-positive people are on treatment in the country and in Victoria as well. What we're trying to do is to get that up as high as possible. 85% is really our target at the moment.
How do you know that?
That 70% are on treatment? There's gay periodic surveys that have been done since about 97 in the country, and we're able to track the number of people who are on treatment.
Okay. So you are estimating then that it's the 30% that aren't getting treatment. How do you reach that 30% to get themselves looked after? This is the good question.
I mean, this is about saying to people now, and as Doug pointed out, some people are really terrified of treatments. They're thinking to themselves, I'm going to get all these side effects. I'm not going to sleep. I'm going to get this lipo belly. Those side effects are barely negligible any longer. I mean, our new treatments are highly effective with very low side effect protocol.
So where does PLWHA fit into this protection strategy? I mean, are you going to be putting yourselves out there as role models and saying, look at us, we're surviving well, we're looking well, the drugs are working okay? You're going to sort of talk from your experience?
I think that there's there are three sort of campaigns, going back to your idea about what are the new campaigns there. There are three campaigns, I think, that are important to run. The first is about saying to HIV-positive people, if you're HIV-positive and you're able and willing to comply with treatments, get on treatments now. You know, there's no point in waiting any longer. You don't have to wait till you're sick to get on treatments. The second is the call to test campaigns. These are done both with PLWHA and our partner, the Victorian AIDS Council. This is about saying, get tested often, and get tested so that you know that you can take treatment when you need it. The third, and I think the most important campaign we need to run, and this is something that's really important for the government to fund, is those that continue to challenge the stigma and discrimination that positive people face. As an HIV positive gay man myself, I have to say I've experienced it numerous times, unfortunately. And it's not appropriate. It drives us to not test. It drives us to not treat.
And that's probably one of the biggest problems, because we hear an awful lot about rejection of HIV positive people. And I'm not just talking about in a sexual context. I'm talking about in a social context as well, that there's still, I mean, obviously it's not anything like as bad as it used to be, where,
well, I'm
know,
not, I'm not
people
sure.
Put rubber gloves on the minute you came into a room, kind of thing.
It's not like that. But, you know, I just saw some data this morning that's saying that something like 50% of HIV positive people since the beginning of these periodic surveys we were talking about are saying that they've experienced stigma and discrimination in their life. And most of that happens in healthcare settings, continues to happen in healthcare settings.
Why do you think that is?
I think that there's a lot of mythology. I think that this is not about the Paran Market Clinic or any of those other high caseload clinics. We're talking about clinics that are uninformed.
And your ordinary GPs.
Your ordinary GP. But I think it also happens in a lot of other allied health settings. You know, when you're going to get X or Y done, you know, you're going to go get acupuncture or a massage, and they say, are you HIV positive? Do you have any, you know?
Or a simple thing like if you're going for an X-ray or, you know, any kind of investigative treatment.
And then you're treated as if you're second class. You're treated as if there's something that's going to happen potentially that's going to put others at risk, and we all know that's not going to happen.
So how do you reach those people? How do you reach the healthcare professionals? I mean, another one that immediately comes to mind is what happens in aged care settings where, you know, things are already a little bit iffy with the way that same-sex attracted people get treated by aged care workers, not just in homes, but also in their own homes when they have people coming in and they're trying to stay in their own homes.
This is a big issue, Doug. I mean, we're looking at a population now because of the success of treatments.
Because there's a fair number of you aging now.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're looking at a potential population now that is about 25% or 21%, I think is what the national figure is, who are older people over the age of 55. We're in 10 years' time, that's going to be nearly 50% of people living with HIV. I think we do need to start doing something now about aged care settings, and they're one of the settings we've got to work in.
So, as I say, how do you reach these people? How do you reach aged care workers? I mean, they're an underpaid sector. They're undertrained for the most part. A lot of them are underqualified. Let's be sort of polite about it.
Yeah.
But it's an under-resourced sector generally. Where are they going to find the money to train people in these issues?
Well, I think probably the program that PLWHA offers that I think is probably one of the best in the country is the Positive Speakers Bureau. This is a program where you can ask and request someone to come out to speak to you about living with HIV, demystify all those issues.
Right.
That personal connection is what's going to make the difference. I think if we can start promoting that even more aggressively, not just to aged care settings, but to other settings as well, workplaces, we can start talking about the fact that, you know, someone with HIV is not someone to be scared.
Yeah. Do you have a large number of people in your Speakers Bureau? I mean, you had a pretty good roster last time.
The Speakers Bureau is certainly one of the most popular programs, and we have the most fantastic coordinator who works with us at PLWHA. I mean, I have just met with the national president of our NAPWA, and he was just saying the same sort of thing. You know, you should be proud of the fact that you have probably the best Speakers Bureau in the country.
So what do you see yourself personally bringing to this job that you're taking on?
Well, you know, I've been a long-time advocate for people living with HIV. I've worked, as I was saying to Gregor, I've been working in this area since I was in my late teens, early 20s. There's a lot of things. I have to say probably the most important thing for me that I'm most passionate about is about reducing stigma and discrimination. I think that that's the root of many of the problems people living with HIV face, whether it be not wanting to test, not wanting to treat. It's also about disclosure.
So a lot of the clinical problems are being overcome. It's now a question of attitude. That's the big issue for
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Well, that's a new way of looking at it. I hadn't realized that treatments had got so much better.
They're highly efficacious now. I mean, there are still, don't get me wrong, there are side effects.
Of course.
But we're talking about treatments now that we're looking at one drug in particular that you take it once a day.
Mm-hmm.
Three different classes of drug in one drug, you take it once a day. How easy is that?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, obviously, the easier it is to comply with the treatment regime, the more likely people are to stick with it, which is one of the problems that arises. People get sick of keep taking the pills.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is.
And
it
you
is.
Are, once you've got HIV, you're on them for life.
And there are downsides. I mean, we often don't articulate the social consequences. I mean, there are things like not getting health insurance. There are problems with traveling. There are issues of disclosure that happen on a daily basis. All those things need to be mediated. And I think that's the role of PLWHA Victoria, is to help people come to terms with all those issues.
Well, thanks, Brent. And stay with us for the rest of the program. If you've got the time, we'd love to have you along. Coming up next here on the Rainbow Report, you might have heard about a certain truck being driven by a self-styled Christian warrior and recovering sex addict. Peter Madden is going from Sydney to Brisbane. The truck is emblazoned with anti-gay messages, and he's been handing out leaflets suggesting that gay marriage will lead to children being corrupted into homosexuality. He was spotted earlier today at Hasford Road in Coombaba on the Gold Coast, but before that, he ran into a little trouble in Lismore. We'll hear all about that in a moment from one who was there.
You're listening to The Rainbow Report.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.